ask how you're feeling right now. Big OU game. We wait until the end of the game to do this podcast. Man, congratulations.
Thank you. Totally unexpected win. Just I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. I mean, this was one of the best wins. I would probably say the second best win of my lifetime of being a Sooner fan for 30 years now, I guess. Just unbelievable. To beat Alabama and really to do it with your offense. I mean, such a great performance from the offense. I'm on cloud nine. I don't know how prepared I am to do this horse racing podcast, but I could probably talk about this game for an hour with you if you wanted to.
Well, it was a fun game to watch from my perspective. You know, just from not really caring on what happened, the outcome. I'm an SEC guy, as you know, but I can't stand Alabama. And so I enjoyed seeing OU beat some ass. But, you know, I got texted you right at the beginning of the game whenever OU or Bama went down and scored. It was like a first minute of the game, and they kick off and they had that big hit. And I'm thinking, this is going to be bad. Bad. Worse than I thought it would be. And then, hey, props to Oklahoma. They took it to them. Not even close.
Yeah, I think I was with you. I thought, you know, we may lose this game 100-0 when that happened. Mm-hmm. And they didn't panic. You know, the thing about it is, I remember driving home from the last home game. We were 8-2. And we had two road games left against top 25 teams. And I thought then, if we could somehow just split those two games and win a bowl, I mean, this would be a great year. But to win them both and then beat a team that I still believe is one of the best in the country, in Alabama, and this is just an unbelievable year. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like to beat Alabama? You know, I mean, and they have that reputation, and they've won so much, they've been so successful, and you grow to hate you know, teams that do that. And yeah, for us to beat them, I never could have guessed in a million years, let's put it that way.
Well, you know, the one thing definitely to be excited about is, I mean, yeah, sure, Sugar Bowl is great, but that's not what you want. You want to be, you know, the BCS championship. And seeing the way Trevor and I played tonight, I think you guys could compete for the BCS championship. So there's some things to come in the coming years.
I'll enjoy this one for the rest of tonight. Then tomorrow I'll start the game plan for 2014. If anybody that's watched Trevor Knight all year and watched him tonight, you're saying, well, who in the hell was that out there playing? Trevor Knight had gotten better throughout the year, but this tonight was unbelievable. If you get that kind of play from him, yeah, I mean, we could beat anybody in the country next year. So it's fun. You know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you're thinking, well, God, OU's not going to be good for 3 or 4 more years. They don't have a lot of players. Now we're 11-2. We just won the Sugar Bowl. I mean, it's weird, but that's sports, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, being so good friends with you and hearing about it all year, you know, that, you know, you watch it closer than anybody, you know, that I know. And, you definitely had your worries about this game, to say the least. But,
yeah.
Wow.
Well,
that was a shocker.
I mean, yeah, you predicted 37-17 Alabama before the game, and I see your message and said, you know, as long as we don't get those points late and it's kind of competitive throughout the game, I'd probably be happy with that score. And I'm not the only Oklahoma fan that thought that way, and it's not being negative. It's just being realistic. If you followed this team all year, you would think they had no chance. I didn't give them much chance in the last game of the year against Oklahoma State. They won that one. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. I hate to take up more time with this, but, yeah, I mean, it's really probably – it's just improbable. I can't even believe it. I don't know. Hopefully we build on it. I'm very excited for next year where I wasn't 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely a good way to end college football for you, you know, this year, and get to look forward to next year. So I would hate to do this podcast with you if somehow Alabama would have came back and maybe, you know, because it's one thing to lose, you know, but if you guys have been that close to winning and Alabama somehow comes back and ties it or, you know, goes for two and wins it or whatever it is, like,
yeah.
That's brutal, you know?
Well, Yeah, and as an Oklahoma fan, we've been on the other end of that before. With Boise State, we were ahead 35-28 with just seconds left. You know, they go down and they win the game there at the end. And when we punted it, my dad was here watching, and of course Heather, the dudette, was watching, and you know, I said, this feels just like Boise State again, because even there at the last 55 seconds, I thought, well, you know, we were in this position, you know, a few years ago, and we lost the game, and I was so worried, you know, I kept thinking, we got to throw here, we got to get the first down. Because I didn't have any confidence in our defense, but, you know, one play and they forced the fumble to win the game. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, the pass rush, that was huge for Oklahoma. But, okay, people listening to this show not for our Oklahoma cultural ball inside, although some of them might be. I know a few of our fans are big OU fans, but they probably think better than Orthrich team, but... on to the show. We have a big, 2014, 2 year olds. They're now 3 year olds. So, we're no longer talking 2 year old racing. We will, of course, but the 2 year olds that we've been talking about are now 3 year olds, and we're talking Kentucky Derby Trail. The first Kentucky Derby prep race, the official Kentucky Derby prep race that's worth actual points for the Kentucky Derby this weekend at Aqueduct, the Grade 2 Jerome Stakes. And of course, we have Oaklawn happening and just a Fleetman and I, and so things are about to start getting pretty crazy here with the race to do, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, this is where it gets fun. We'll start off quiet this week with the Jerome, but it's only going to get better and better. Of course, next week, obviously, is the week that we've been counting down for since April when they last ran the Arkansas Derby. At Oakland next week is going to be huge. The time is just going to drag by between now and then. But yeah, we're pumped. We're ready. This is our season. And, Oakland next week, but we'll start off with a couple of nice races this week to kind of get us going.
All right. Yeah, let's not waste any more time and let's get to this. We'll go to tomorrow. There's a big race at Gulfstream Park, allowance off from Claymer. Mile and an eighth for the 3 year olds, as we're talking this one. A big time 3 year old race to start the season. An allowance race, but still a good race. And there's one horse here in particular that you're real big on, but as we talked about earlier, there's several in this race that could turn out to be big. Give me your insight.
Well, I mean, we're going to start out with this race, and I'm so excited from this win, and now you're going to start out with this race, which is actually the race I'm most excited about for the whole weekend. And that's because number five, Top Billing, who is one of my draftees in our little draft that we did, the Derby draft, just absolutely loved his maiden win at Laurel Park. I know it was a sprint. I know it was in the flop. But, Shid McGahee horses don't usually win first time out. And Top Billing won, like you were shy of the cannon. It's just an incredible victory. He's got the breeding. He's got everything on his side. And yeah, that's obviously going to be my pick, number five, Top Billing. I'm not going to go against one of my Derby draft horses. So I'm sticking with him. The reason I really like this race over some of the other ones is the distance is a mile and an eighth. That's a pretty long distance for this time of year. So I think if you've got a horse in here, you're thinking, hey, he's going to want a route. I really like number one, Cousin Steven, for Chad Brown. I think he's got a really good shot to win this thing. Ichaban Warrior, number seven, coming in for Todd Fletcher. He had a really, really strong starter allowance race at Churchill Downs last time out. He's obviously very talented. So really, you look at this field, there's a field of eight. I think five of them could go on to run in good races if everything goes right. But I'm not going to go against Top Billing. It's going to be tough, but I think he gets it done.
Yeah, this one to me was tough because there's a lot of potential talent here. And my first instinct was, of course, to try to beat Top Billing because I know that it's the most promising probably out of the bunch, and I. And so, looking over these, the 3-1 and 5-2, I just don't I'm not saying they're not going to win. You know, that's number one because of Steven and Jamal Lawyer, other Fletcher Bonifati, too. I'm not saying they're not going to win, but given what this field looks like, I'm taking value, you know, and there's just not, I think you can get the same kind of quality at a better price. It's the top billing at 5-1. A horse like number six, Commissioner, interesting horse. Last time out, won at Saratoga, though, which was back in August. This is out of Windstar, another Fletcher trainer, a trainee, I should say. So, interesting horse here. Could, you know, it would be just shocking to see this horse, but not going to make that pick here coming off the long layoff. So, I actually could not find a horse to beat your horse. And I'm okay with taking top billing here. You know, I'm not getting hurt by points. You know, you're not going to get any points for this race.
Right. Yeah, that is a good point. You know, Commissioner actually is a horse I really liked when he ran at Saratoga. I saw him in the queue, got excited. I think the one red flag, and you know me, I do look at connections and jockeys a lot. Lafano
right.
Riding Commissioner, Lafano usually does not ride for Fletcher. So that tells me that the main Fletcher jockey is maybe not one of the hop on this one. So that's kind of why I backed off a little bit. But I do really like the horse. So we'll see. Gosh, you know, you're right, though. It's really tough to take him off that long of a break. You would have liked to see some kind of race between here and August. And you have to realize this is a mile and eighth race. So if this horse can come off the shelf and win against the quality of field, I mean, we might be looking at a beast here, but I think he's a wait-and-see type of horse. You know, I don't know. I keep falling back to the top billing in Ichabod Warrior. I really think it's going to be one of those two.
Yeah, and also to add, you know, Commissioner at Saratoga did win in the mile and eighth race, so we know the horse. That's what's so interesting about this horse is you know he can do it. And you do it the best tracks, really, for that matter. But, yeah, just, you know, it's one thing to win in a mile and eighth, another thing to win off a mile and eighth after, you know, a several-month layoff and coming into, you know, three-year-old season. So I think this horse could be something that we're talking about later. Not right now. I'm not going to go there. And top billing to me, you know, as much as I hate to say it, but, you know, is a good-looking horse, and you know, it's only an 8th day because you have it, but this horse could cost me some points later down the road, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I want to make something clear here. A lot of times you see an allowance race and a horse might finish third or fourth in it. You know, they might try an allowance again because they don't think they're ready for a stake. I don't really think that's the case here. I think the top two or three, at least, in this race, we'll try to go on and run races like the Holy Bull and the Fountain of Youth, races at Gulfstream that are going to be prep races. So look at this one, you know, very closely. And if the horse you like makes a good round and maybe finishes second and third, I wouldn't give up on him.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, this is too early for that. And, yeah, I think, you know, this is going to be, it'll be good to watch, see some of these, see if Top Billing can repeat or at least show that kind of effort like you did last time. But it is cool to see Rosario, the back on with this trainer. So it was kind of a neat fit. Maybe he'll find his way back to Kentucky.
Well, I mean, I would love that, obviously. And, you know, we had a big performance by Gold Hawk last week in a race similar to this. I kind of like Top Billing maybe a little more than Gold Hawk. So, I mean, obviously I'm hoping big things for him here. I think the field's a little tougher for him to overcome. But, listen, the whole racing world is going to be watching this race. And you know, you're going to be able to find analysis of this race from a lot more people than that. So this is really a big-time race.
Go to the next day, still stay at Gulfstream Park. Race 10 on Saturday, the Spectacular Bid Stakes. The sprint, 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds, of course. This is going to be the theme of this show, 3-year-olds. And it's worth $100,000. Field of 8 shows up, and another, you know, here we go. Another, again, you know, more horses to talk about that have a lot of potential. And, you know, this is how it is at the beginning of the season. You have all these horses that either we've been talking about, maybe newcomers. They're all newcomers in a sense, but it turned three. We're talking three-year-old racing. Some of these horses might continue on this path from six furlongs to the, you know, the Derby distance, and some of them might stick at sprinters. So it's neat to see kind of come through them, and this is a good test to start it out. But where are you looking? Corfu, you know, the soft 5-2 Fletcher favorite, do you like that horse? Is that where you're sticking, or are you going elsewhere?
Yeah, I'm not getting fancy with this one. I've liked that horse ever since he ran at Saratoga. I don't think he's anything more than about a 6 or 7 furlong type of horse. Hopefully Fletcher's got enough horses in his barn where he doesn't try to stretch this horse out anymore. The thing I really liked about Corfu is, in Saratoga, I don't really think he understood exactly what he was doing. I think his strategy was to just to fly out there as fast as he could and just go as long as he could at top speed. And that strategy worked because he was a tough horse, he was a thin horse, and he was very fast. I think the time off now, maybe he's kind of learned, okay, I can rate my speed just a little bit, and it's not going to take much. Instead of running a 21-4, run a 22-4 opening quarter, and he could be even better. So I'm hoping he progresses. I'm hoping he's grown a little bit mentally. He's kind of figured it out. I really like him. I like his toughness. I do like number 7, Hollywood Talent. Of course, you maybe haven't learned his lesson, and he kind of fades a little bit on the top, goes too fast. I think Hollywood Talent's the horse that can pick up the pieces. I really like him. You always have to respect Wesley Ward in 6 furlong sprint races. Got Rosario up. I think he's definitely the number one danger.
Yeah, I'm a little torn in this race. There's one horse in here that I really did like, but you know, going from your standpoint, like you mentioned earlier, your connections, how you like to look at it, it's kind of some red flags. And that's number 2, Trailblaze. You know, another the other Fletcher trained horse, Liscano, again on a Fletcher horse, not usual. Rosario, who rode Trailblaze last time out, obviously not riding in this race, but a different horse. That's another red flag. However, Trailblaze looks like a stud, at least for the last time out. It was ridden out, super easy, no effort whatsoever, won by like 5 lengths, just put up a bullet workout. I mean, the horse looked like he could be very, very tough in this position, but it causes some red flags for me. However, I'm gonna roll the dice and go with Trailblaze.
Well, I don't think it's a bad pick, and obviously what you just highlighted is why I didn't pick him.
Right.
And another reason, it's going to be a lot tougher competition. He won a maiden at Aqueduct last time out. Aqueduct maiden special weight to a $200,000 stake with Gulfstream. That is a big jump. But like you said, it looked like he needed a big jump because I do remember watching that race at Aqueduct and he just cruised. You know, they couldn't touch him. So yeah, I mean it's a playable horse. There's no question about it. But yeah, since Rosario jumped to Hollywood Talent, that's kind of my lean with for second. But I did at Trailblaze third. So if that makes you feel any better, I don't know.
Let me ask you something because this is an honest question. Okay. I think it'll help a lot of listeners too. What earlier in the season, like it is now, do you find you whenever you go towards your connections, you know, because obviously you're trusting that, hey, you know, Rosario obviously knows, or you know, he finds the number 7 is a better horse than number 2, but when it's just early in the season. And really, knowledge is kind of lacking for everybody, no matter how close you are. And do you find that you take a little less stock into the connection aspect than you do maybe in like July, August, September?
Well, I think you make a good point because, especially in 3-year-old races, because they are lightly graced. Not really. I think would be my answer, just because I think. I think maybe you and I and everybody else kind of in the media maybe doesn't know, but I think these trainers know who's good, and I think the jockey agents find out from the trainers, hey, this horse can run, this horse can't, that kind of thing. I mean, just with the kind of our personal thing, you know, we are kind of close with Kelly Von Hemel. You know, he usually will tell us, hey, this one I think can run, maybe this one can't. I think trainers know. I think they even know early on about potential. Sometimes they are wrong. Well, they're just like us. You know, you can't handicap them all right, no matter if they're yours or not. But,
right.
Yeah, I still read a lot into it.
Okay. Just kind of came to me as we were looking at that. It would be interesting. Anything else you want to add to that race?
No, I think we're good. I just want to say that hopefully, I think at least half of these, you know, let's keep them at 6 furlongs. These are sprinters. There's maybe one
right.
or two that might stretch out, but let's not get crazy with them.
All right, let's go to the main race for the weekend, and that is the like we talked about, the Derby qualifying race. Get you points going into the Derby. 10 points awarded to the winner. Second place we get 4, and third place gets 2. Fourth place we get 1 point. So you have a field of 8, grade 2 mile to 70 yards, and 3-year-old horse to $200,000. Noble Moon, the clear 6-5 favorite, probably the most clear favorite we've talked about today. I'll make it easy for myself. That's where I went. Could not find a horse to beat it, but let me know how wrong I am or how right I am.
Well, first of all, I'll start by saying there are several people smarter than me that really, really like Noble Moon. They thought he ran best when he got beat by Honor Call and Cairo Prince last time out.
Yeah.
He ran. You know, they really, really like him. They think this is an up-and-coming horse. He missed the Rinzen Stakes. He scratched because he broke out in hives, and that's got me totally off this horse because I've had, I've seen a couple horses break out in hives at a significant time. They maybe tried to run them with the hives, and they don't run all that well. It's something that takes a lot out of horses, and that's something we've been lucky enough to learn from trainers, just getting to know trainers and you know, tidbits here and there. Listen, I don't know how serious the hives were. Maybe it wasn't a serious case, but I'm gonna take that, and I'm gonna say no. I'm not gonna bet it, even though I do think he's the most talented horse. So I went with number 8, Master Lightning on the outside for Fletcher. Surprise, surprise. Pretty good race last time out at Aqueduct. He won an allowance. He's 6-1. I think he's worth a shot. And I also think number 3, Lawmaker for Chad Brown, he's 8-1 on the line. This horse won a maiden special weight and his only start. Yeah, probably could move up from that. So I think there's 2 price horses right there that are definitely worth taking a shot here. Number 2, Scotland, is the second choice. That horse is still a maiden. So, I mean, obviously you think he's beatable in here. So I did go against the favorites here, and I'm pretty confident that the Master Lightning and Lawmaker are going to be able to run with this group. I don't think much of this field. I don't think we've got a Derby winner in this field. But we'll see. I mean, Noble Moon, he's just a wild card to me. I'm just skeptical that he's going to be healthy.
Well, let me tell you something here. So, Noble Moon, my pick, but value wise, there's not much there, and I have a hunch that to come post, it's going to be worse. So, my backup plan is if Noble Moon is not a good value for me, I was going. My second choice is actually number 8, Master Lightning. Obviously, Todd Fletcher is a bonus, but I actually looking over these past performances, Master Lightning is actually one of the only true solid speed horses in this race.
Yeah.
If he can get out and run, and just to me, he can almost wire this field. I look over this and I see a lot of horses that like to stalk and even come from behind. The whole dude came from behind big last time. Granted, he did win wiring the field. This first race is a shorter race, but Master Lightning seemed to me that one that could show speed early, and then while these horses are stay back a little bit, I can see Fletcher going out and just stealing one here. So yeah, I like number 8 plus 6-1. Definitely got your value there. So yeah, I would take a choice, and I have a feeling that will be my choice come post time.
Well, you know, I want to make another point here, and I hate to be like this, but the trainer of Hobelmer, she's not exactly someone that has horses on the Derby trail every year. I had to look her up. I didn't even know it was a female, actually, until I did some research on it for the show. This is one of the strangest workout patterns I've ever seen. 4 furlongs on 12-4, 5 furlongs on 12-14, 6 furlongs on 12-22, and a mile on 12-28. That's very strange. That's very strange. I've never really seen a workout pattern like that. So listen, she may know what she's doing, but I don't know. I'm just really skeptical that this horse is. I don't know. For the price he's going to be, I think he's a definite play against. One other thing we might ought to mention, I read just before coming on the show, Aqueduct has actually canceled live racing for Friday because of a snowstorm. So who knows what it's going to, I mean, who knows what it's going to be like Saturday? Will they run even? And if they do run.
Yeah, I wondered that myself.
How bad is the weather going to be, you know? So we don't know. So that's going to be a question mark on it too. So definitely check the weather forecast before you bet the house on this one.
Oh yeah, I mean horses are just like us. I mean some of them really hate the cold. Some of them really hate the heat. So I mean you never know. And again, it's early in the season. We really don't have a lot of a background on these horses, you know, other than maybe a race or two. And so yeah, a heavy favorite that you're kind of on the fence with, and or maybe you know whatever reason it is, you know, look for some value out there. You know, I would much rather. I'd much rather get beat by the horse that I had picked that was even money, that maybe I missed out $20 versus missing the 6-1 favorite that would have made like 200 or whatever it was. So yeah, be smart and don't put a lot on just this early in the season whenever you're kind of on the fence, I would say.
I mean, yeah, and I know if I was a horse, I would not run well in the cold. if they brought me out, you know, if I was running Saturday at Aqueduct and it was snowing and negative degrees out, I would say, I'd say, get me out of this shit. I take me to you know, Santa Anita or Gulfstream. I'm not going to run in this. So I understand that. I understand if Noble Moon comes out there and doesn't want to run. I totally understand.
Wow. I don't like the heat either, so I'd run well about 1 month out of the year. So
I don't know when you would not have no heat or no cold. Maybe I don't know, maybe like March in Oakland, maybe that would be your month to run.
March and April, I think Rebel Arts under really handle that.
Yeah, you'd be real competitive no, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so 10 points going the winner of this race. Again, it's not, we don't see a lot in here as being, you might get a Derby starter out here, you never know. But, it's so early in the season, 10 points, as we saw last year. A lot of those horses that were, on the list that had gotten 10 points, well, maybe if they got them early in the season, they never got them again. So, yes, if it is a Derby trail race, but as we know, more to come for sure, and definitely because these 10 points could turn out to be not so important.
Exactly, there's no doubt. The official start, really, for us is 2 weeks when the Smarty Jones is ran. That's when it really starts.
Right, but all that said, we are talking Kentucky Derby 2014, so I'm happy with that.
Definitely, And yeah, like you said, just remember, anything can happen in these early ones. We really don't know enough to be real educated on really the majority of runners in these early races.
All right, that's all the time we got. It is late. We stayed up late after the game to do this podcast, so it is late. We are tired, so check us out at racingdudes.com. Our free picks. Actually, right now we have over 10 tracks available, free picks. And we'll have simple plays ready for you guys tomorrow night for the weekend. Check us out on Twitter at @racing_dude and Google Plus. We've been posting our Oakland previews coming out. We've done trainers and jockeys So check those out. They're really insightful. You know, really insightful. And if you're going to Oakland, you've got Oakland, it'll be super helpful and give you an idea of what to look for, maybe some of the trainers and jockeys, and more to come, horses. So you know, keep an eye on that and just keep checking the website. I'm Jared Welch. He's there in all three. He's also very excited to be an Oklahoma Sooners fan. And good luck to